Hello, and welcome once again to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. This is Robert with Matthew, and we're back in the car. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. It's been a while since we've done this. We had a broken computer-induced hiatus over the past few weeks. That's now been resolved. Things are back to normal. We did manage to get regular episodes out, thanks to a number of different people who we're either up for doing some interviews or sending stuff in, and we really appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for sticking with us in these difficult times. But we're back and we're here in the car, as Robert says.
So
have you enjoyed your extended sabbatical? Is that the right word? Sabbatical?
Yeah, could be. I haven't enjoyed it particularly. I've done all right. I've gotten by. I've been listening to Toolman Bay, that BBC drama. Neverwhere is doing its rounds again, so that's good. And Edict Zero will be back soon as well in the next couple of months, hopefully.
All good, yeah, plenty of good stuff out there. I'm listening to a lot of stuff at the moment as well. So, yeah, we're back. We've got some new recording equipment that we're working with. This is due to, I think we'd mentioned it before, we were able to get some new gear through the contributions we're bringing in through Patreon for this show. So we bought two lavalier mics. These are Audio Technica lavalier mics, ATR 3350s. So a lav mic, if you're not really familiar with what a lav mic is, it's also known as a collar mic or a lapel mic. It's the sort of mics you see, or don't see for that matter, in like film and television, and it just makes sense for us. We're sitting in the car. We used to pass a Zoom H2 back and forward, and it got a wee bit awkward, so
yeah,
we're running these into the Zoom H5, which is another new purchase, and we're able to connect the ATR3350s, it's a 3.5mm jack, so I've plugged them into the mono quarter inch adapters, and I've got independent control over each channel, so I could turn Robert down if I don't really like what he's saying, and I could keep speaking a lot of sense. So you can use these lavalier mics. You could use a splitter into something like the Zoom H1, but you wouldn't have that independent control over each microphone, basically. So I thought it was worth just getting a higher end recorder and having that independent control. But These ATR 3350s, they're like £22, $21. There's not even any difference in the pounds dollars thing.
Wow!
So they're really cheap.
Is that all?
Yeah. My only complaint with them is that they're self powered, so they're powered by these wee cell batteries. You know, like the sort of watch style batteries.
Oh yeah, little round ones.
Yeah, and they're not the most common battery in the world. They're not the sort of one, like, if we suddenly ran out of batteries, we probably couldn't just nip into the local shop and get them. They probably wouldn't have them. And what's really annoying is they've got an on-off switch because they're obviously powered by these batteries. There's no light there, so you would think there'd maybe be like a red light when it was on.
Yeah.
But it's really easy when you're finished, you switch the Zoom off, but you forget to switch the microphones off, and you put them away. And I know that they're not really doing anything, they're not plugged into anything, but it could still drain the battery.
The circuit's running, isn't it?
So, yeah, exactly. So I had to buy a batch of these cell batteries as spares, and I've got to really pay attention to make sure I'm switching them off when I'm finished with them.
You get paranoid about it, eh? Like, my mouse for the computer at home is cordless, and it's got a battery on it, and every time I'm finished, I make sure that the little switch underneath is turned off, and then I walk away, then I go back to make sure it's turned off. And
yeah.
It's only like one normal AA battery, but my God, I want it to last.
Bleed it dry.
Yeah.
Once it runs out, it moves into the TV remote, and it kind of works its way down. The other thing with the ATR 3350s, and this is one of those things where, like, I've seen the reviews. Some people love the fact that it's got a massive cable. I think it's like 6 meters long.
Nice.
So that obviously suits people. Maybe if they're doing a bit of location work, a bit of filming, they've got this huge cable, they've got plenty of room.
You want to get up on the roof of your house.
Yeah, do some recording up there.
Yeah.
No lawnmowers up there. But a lot of people don't like that as well, because it's not great for storage. If you're putting two of these things like away in a bag or in a box or something like that, you bring it out, it looks a bit like a bird's nest. So you've got to manage the cable. So I'd say that's another thing. If this is something that you're thinking of buying, I certainly really like them. I'm really happy with the sound quality for what we need them for. But be aware that it's a massive cable, and it doesn't hurt to have a decent memory so that you remember to switch them off as well.
Very nice. It's been a good time for new equipment, because I just bought a new mic as well, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, what was that again?
It was an SE2200A Mark IIc.
That rolls off the tongue.
Doesn't it just?
The marketing department in that company are doing a really good job anyway.
Yeah. Basically, it's a condenser mic. It's really good.
Looks to me like a bit of a reverse-engineered Neumann U87, but obviously much, much cheaper, which I couldn't see you splashing out like a couple of grand on the U87. So if it's half as good as those, then you're on to a winner.
Well, it cost me $179.99 after I got the place to price match somewhere else I'd seen it. And I got a vocal reflector booth for £65 as well. Got that all set up yesterday. Had a little shot, recorded myself doing some mock Scottish Highlander erotica, which apparently is big bucks at the moment. And
I'm not sure if you're joking.
I'm not joking.
There can only be one.
Yes, it's like, "Och, Morag, you're looking fine. Yosha, hoor, sir," and all this. Yeah, apparently that is real. There's a big market for it. So on the internet, like Amazon audiobooks and stuff.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was Julie Hoverson told me that, and she would know. She's big into audiobooks at the moment. So
I'd validate that with at least a couple of secondary sources. Like, I mean, I know people are into all sorts of crap, but
yeah, no, I've been on acx.com, which is a website that does audiobooks and accepts auditions and stuff. And if you put in you've got a general Scottish accent, some of the titles accepting auditions, you see it, and there's the guy, the Highlander, with only half a shirt on, holding the woman half upside down because he's caught her in an embrace and that. It's like, yeah, there's a market. Well, I better buy a new microphone.
You do know that, like, McDonald's are hiring, and I'm not sure that reading Highlander erotica is any better than cleaning the toilets at McDonald's. Just my opinion.
I could do it from home.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. But that aside, yeah, I did 30 seconds of me gibbering and then started saying about and Jamesy was from the lowlands of Edinburgh, but it was north where he found love. Up into the Highlands he went, brandishing his claymore with both hands. And then I started laughing, and then I stopped the recording.
Well, on this episode, speaking of comfort zones, I am now right outside of mine. So on this episode, and by the way, apologies if you're a new listener and this wasn't a very professional way to start the show, but stick with us.
I regret nothing.
It gets no better. Comfort zones when you make audio drama. This is a discussion we've wanted to have for quite some time, because when you start making audio drama, not even when you start, when you make audio drama full stop, there's loads to learn, isn't there? And I think, like, for me and for you and for the listener, sometimes online you'll come across maybe a technical discussion that's taking place about something, and you'll just think, I've no idea what anyone here is actually talking about.
Yeah.
And that happens to everyone, in my opinion.
I've been there.
Even if they won't admit it, like, nobody knows absolutely everything. And the reality is that there's so much to learn in order to make audio drama, you'll never actually stop learning. But arguably that's a good thing, because who wants to arrive at the point where they think they know everything? Would that not feel a bit stagnant?
Even the risk of feeling like you've reached that point is dangerous, because
yeah, it's an arrogance, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're more than likely wrong, and therefore not very good at what you're doing, because you can't judge the situation properly. I've felt a little bit out of my depth at times when talking about technical stuff on the forums and stuff, because I don't really get what people are saying. Like, I think I asked people what headphones were the best, and then all these terms came flying out, and I went, no, I don't know what any of these words mean. Can someone just give me a link to Amazon so I can press buy? I want the best headphones, damn it. But yeah, you've just got to start somewhere, ask someone nicely and say, look, I don't fully understand what's happening here. At least give me some terms to look up on Google, or, you know, in a dictionary or something, and then take it from there. Just break it down.
here's a point. Like, I do think, like, so the group that we've got, the Facebook group for the podcast, is brilliant, and it's always really good for info. But when you look for technical information online, you always do find yourself being linked to forums, you know, audio production forums, microphone forums, DAW forums and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these places, if not all of them, are populated by one or two joyless a**s, for lack of a better term.
It's a pretty good term.
Who just, like, seem to revel in talking down to people, making people feel really stupid. And, you know, take your question and never come back here, because of course we all know that the answer to this is. And
I was on one of these forums today, and someone had said, yeah, I want to buy a new microphone and I don't really know anything about microphones. I want to be able to do acting and voiceovers. And someone said a Blue Yeti, which is a USB mic, I believe.
Yeah, the Yeti's not the worst.
No, but that wasn't the worst.
Right, right.
This other guy came on, who obviously does know better, and ripped them to shreds and said, you will never see a Blue Yeti used in a professional production. Can't believe you're suggesting that. And the other one was like, well, you know, it did me okay for a while, but what do I know? I don't want to spend a lot anyway. And this huge flame war happened between these two, this second and third person, where they tried to rip each other to pieces. And that first guy at the top that was like, so, yeah, I'm after a microphone. Okay, I'll leave you to it.
Aye,
and he didn't post again.
I know. I think, like, not to get too far off topic, but for a lot of technical stuff, you'd be much better, like, trying to find somebody to sort of unofficially or officially mentor you through building your skill set with stuff like this. And you can, because obviously you're going to require someone to give up a bit of their time to do that, but you could maybe propose to do some editing for a producer, or run their Twitter account, or write their show notes for them, or things like that. So there's these sort of skill exchanges that you could offer to somebody in exchange for maybe an hour of their time every month, where you could just build up a list of questions and then, like, get together on Skype and just fire away.
Yeah.
And get, you know, sensible, non-aggressive answers that you could actually go and take action on.
Yeah, certainly there must be some sort of equation that shows you that the larger the group that you ask a question like that to, the less productive it's going to be. So if you just ask a general group, you're always going to get a good few answers that are meaningless or irrelevant or unhelpful, aggressive. But if you can get a small specified group, even our group on Facebook, we don't get a lot of hassle on there. People aren't hassling each other too often. We've never had to step in and say, right, that's enough. You know, like you probably would have to do on other forums. But if you can get a one-to-one with someone that knows what they're doing, it's worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely. And to sort of bring it back to the subject, because there's so much to learn, I think it's very, very important when you're starting out in audio drama to start small, because there's just so much to learn. So in the start, and one person I always hear mentioning this anytime I hear an interview, Derek Maggs, and, you know, there'll be few people alive who know more about making audio drama than Derek Maggs, and his advice is always just, like, look, start, keep things very simple, get yourself a Zoom recorder or, like, a couple of lav mics, you know, 20 quid lav mics that we've got just now, and get some people together and just record a short story and see how you like it.
Yeah.
Sitting in a car like we are now, you know, that's a studio for, you know, if you're starting out, you could go outside and get a bit of the ambience out there, or obviously access the vast resources online of remote actors out there. Just put together some short stories and keep things very, very simple in the beginning, because that's like the foundations. I think if you try and jump into, you know, booking studios, hiring actors, drawing up contracts and things like that, you've got to crawl before you can run, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's not just the production side as well, but the story. You know, people, especially, dare I say it, fan fiction, if you've got a huge universe that you suddenly want to bring to life because you're a fan of it, then you're starting with this massive, massive story, as opposed to something very small and cute that you can deal with on a comfortable scale. So you're trying to do justice to something which is normally in Hollywood, say, or at least on TV. And you're going to do, I would suggest, if that's the first production you're going to do, is you're not going to do it justice. You're not going to do yourself justice. you might get negative feedback and it might put you off for good. So start off small.
Important as well that each time you pick up new things, new techniques, when you learn new things, put them into practice and try and consolidate that knowledge and develop these new skills. Because how many times in the past, and this is actually an example, I was speaking to somebody the other week, I think it was my brother, we were talking about ways in which we learn things. Mm. And a few years ago when I was a greenkeeper, and we went through our chainsaw license, so we learned, we got licensed to operate a chainsaw basically, and what it consisted of was an instructor came out and spent one day with us, one full day, taught us everything we needed to know. I could actually strip a chainsaw down, every single nut and bolt on the table, every single component of this chainsaw would be sitting there in front of me, and I would be able to build it back up and put the whole thing back together. And the next day, because we'd went through that all day and we went out and cut some trees and stuff like that, the next day did the exam with a guy, passed the exam with flying colours. And I think, like, because the chainsaw work was kind of seasonal, you only did it really in the autumn and the winter. By the time the next autumn came around, I'd forgot pretty much everything about. And I just thought, like, what a pointless way to learn something. Like, really cram it in and be really good at it for a day and then forget it. So yeah. When you learn new things, when you're making audio drama, especially, you know, when you learn a new production technique or something like that, keep practicing at it and keep honing it, because you've got to kind of bring it into your repertoire of stuff that you're using, even if it just means loading up an old WAV file that you've no intention of doing anything with and just playing with some effects and things like that. Because if you learn something and you don't use it, then you kind of unlearn it over time, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I can think of plenty of instances where I've learned something but only used it once, and then 6 months later it comes up again, especially at work in the job which I've just quit, which I'm happy about. There'll be a set of rules for most of the time, but there'll be this one instance where something is slightly different when it only comes up once every 6 months, if at all. And then when it comes around, it's like, oh, crap, how do I do this again? So, yeah, especially if it's a new skill that you've only learned and you're quite happy with having learned it and you think it'll be useful, make it useful and use it a good couple of times and try not to forget about it over the course of the next year.
And once you've established that sort of grounding, and, you know, it's arguable at what point you have established that grounding. I mean, we've been doing this 5 or 6 years now. We've become very comfortable in doing small-scale stuff and working with remote actors and putting short stories together. But that's the point where you have to start thinking. And I mean, when you're learning it, you're going to be outside your comfort zone anyway, but it's not getting to the point where you think, okay, I'm very capable of doing this now, and then just continuing to do that stuff that you're comfortable with. I think you've at least got to keep one foot outside your comfort zone at all times. So us, for example, like I said, we've got a lot of experience doing the remote stuff, and we made Aftermath two seasons of that, but we don't have very much experience at all. I think we've only done it a couple of times of getting people in the studio. Mm-hmm. I would say that's still totally outside our comfort zone. There's loads we don't know about it. There's loads we've got to learn. And that's why our next big project is going to be going down that route. And it's, you know, we don't know a lot about it at all. We're speaking to a lot of people. We're taking in a lot of advice. The point I'm trying to make is, like, unless you've always got a feeling that this could, you know, the thing that you're doing could all go wrong, you're not really testing yourself, are you?
That's
like,
right.
If you're creating something and you think, I've done all this before, it's very comfortable to me, I'm absolutely assured in the results that I'm going to deliver here. Okay, you might be putting out something that is good, but how much are you really testing yourself?
Yeah.
And how much are you improving?
They say that standing still is the same as going backwards if everybody else is going forward and learning new things. So if you're just going through the motions, then good for you, you know, but it's time to get the fear factor back in your belly and think, oh gosh, how is this going to turn out?
And I mean, you won't necessarily create something first class every time you really push yourself and test yourself, but you will, like I say, expand that comfort zone and you'll really start to improve. Once you've got a massive comfort zone, you'll you'll be pretty competent at what you need to do to create good audio drama. Robert, what's your just talking about the process of doing work, your favourite Marilyn Monroe quote, the one about breaking things down? It's Henry Ford, really, but we'll go for Marilyn Monroe.
Any big job is easy if you break it down into very small jobs. Like, for Henry Ford, I guess, making a car is like, well, building a car is difficult, but see, just getting these two screws and putting them through a pipe, that's step one, that's easy. And then attaching that pipe to a piston or something, obviously I don't know much about cars, but that next bit's easy. Like, a million easy little jobs. And if you can learn how to do all of them, you've built a car. Well done.
Yeah, I've kind of heard this theory reworked under the saying process over prize. Huh. And what that means, basically, is whilst it's important to have your long-term goal, so that might be something like, I want to have an audio drama series that hits a million downloads.
Yeah, or I want to be good at karate, or I want to play the guitar.
Yeah, and I mean, the question isn't, how do I make a 1 million download audio drama series? The question is, what do I need to do to make that series? So that might be focusing on writing that next scene, developing a plot arc, or working on the mix for a specific soundscape. And it's also about cutting the fat from your to-do list and getting rid of unnecessary things that don't really contribute to that goal. So floundering about doing stuff that doesn't really matter when you seriously analyse it and you're thinking, is this furthering the project that I want to eventually be a million plus downloaded series?
Yeah, I saw a Snoopy cartoon, or Peanuts if you like. You know, there's the kid, I can't remember his name, but he plays Beethoven, he plays the piano, and Lucy's there and she's saying, what if you practice for years and years and years but you never end up making millions or playing to huge audiences? And he was like, the joy is in the playing. So that's, again, process
very
versus reward.
Very profound for Snoopy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it's right, though. You can't picture the end and just be working towards the end. You've got to just be here and now in the moment and taking joy from what you're doing and from learning. And if you do that, the end will come.
Yeah, I read a really good book. It was last year or the year before. It was called The One Thing by Gary Keller. And it was just a really good book for reminding you to sort of stay focused on what it is that you're trying to achieve. Mm. So, yeah, you've got that long-term goal, but what can I immediately, and this runs through the entire book, it's like, you know, what's the one thing I could be doing right now that is going to lead me towards achieving what I want to achieve in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years? So it just keeps you focused. You know, what can I be working on right now?
Yeah.
That's going to create this thing that's going to be really successful in the future.
It's very easy to be not in the mood in a given moment to do something that you need to do, like to do writing for your audio drama. Like, oh, I really don't feel in the mood to do that just now. I've got 2 hours before I need to go to bed. I guess I'll do something completely different, like watch TV that I don't even enjoy, but I want to pass time before I go to bed. Well, okay, you don't need to be writing your audio drama, but maybe you could be reading up on things that's easy to do, you're not taxing yourself too much, or you could just be going through story ideas on some website. You could be doing anything at all that's
listening to audio drama. Absolutely. Is always a good thing to be doing.
Yeah, especially if it's relevant to what you're planning to write. Just don't be put off by the idea that, oh, well, I'm not being productive because I'm not doing that big thing I need to do. Do something else that will just chill you out and contribute to your overall plan.
Yeah, and be careful of, we've gone through this on the show as well, the old saying that when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So as great as it is that we've got a community where everyone is doing work for each other, everyone's helping each other out, just always be mindful of how much you're getting involved in. You know, if people are always, maybe if you're a good voice actor, people are always approaching you to work in their shows and you feel bad about telling somebody no. But if you get to the point where, especially if you're making something of your own and you're doing all this stuff for everyone, your own work inevitably is going to suffer. So you have to protect your own time, your own creative time as well. We only have finite amounts of time. So I'm not saying knock everything back, you know, knock every approach back that you get from people, but just be mindful that you can't do everything, or you really do spread yourself very thin and end up getting nothing done at all.
Like not enough butter over too much bread.
Exactly.
So there you have it. Comfort zone, don't stay in it. If you're standing still, going backwards, make sure you're testing yourself and trying new things. And you might wonder what's a good way to get out of your comfort zone. Like, it won't occur to you to try this new thing because it's a new thing you haven't done before. So look at everything. Look at your writing. Look at your production. Look at how you get things done. And try to think how yours is different to someone else's. And what are they doing differently? And is that something you could try? Or is there some sort of hybrid between the two even? Maybe you'll create a new style. Really have a look at what you're doing, what you're comfortable with, and try to think of an alternative that's relevant. And let us know how you're getting on, which you can do by either seeing us on Facebook or emailing us at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com.
Yeah, not to beat this to death, I just wanted to chip in there. Like, we talked about feeling like there's so much more that you need to learn. See that as a good thing, see it as an opportunity, but don't try and do it all at once. Try and break it down. Try and learn things as you go, even if that means working out a plan, like I'm going to learn this that month, I'm going to learn that the following month. And try and approach someone with a lot more experience than you, or even a bit more experience than you, and see if they'll do a bit of sort of mentorship with you, and see if there's something that you could offer them in return, like I mentioned before, writing some show notes or doing some basic editing or things like that. So
yeah,
lots of opportunities out there, and like I say, the fact that you feel you've got loads to learn should excite you, because it's a great opportunity for you.
One of the best things to do as well is to get some real feedback on your work and make sure that the person that's reviewing it knows, look, telling me it's great is not going to help me. Telling me exactly what you think could be improved will help me, because it gives me somewhere to go. And that was the best thing for me with anything that we've worked on, is getting real feedback and saying, oh yeah, I see what you mean. That some stuff will occur to you and some of it won't. And then it will hit you like a flash, like, right, of course, I see, yeah, this is taking too long, I should just take that out altogether, right? So, good luck, ask for feedback, and may your work improve very soon.
Yeah, and that just about brings us to the end of this big old comeback episode. One thing I did want to mention on the podcast, for some time now, I'm going to be out in San Diego in June. I'm going to be out visiting family. I last visited San Diego in 1992. Don't think I was old enough to drink then in the States. But yeah, going to be out in San Diego. Probably going to try and spend a couple of days in Los Angeles as well.
I've heard of it.
If there's any of you out there in that neck of the woods, I'd quite like to meet some audio dramatists, get together, have a pint, or... you know, even a coffee if we have to not drink alcohol. But yeah, I'd love to meet some folks out there if you're up for it. You could say you met me off the internet. We'll wear those red flowers so we recognise each other.
Oh yeah, have a Washington Post under your arm or something.
But yeah, if you're out in California, if you're in that neck of the woods, San Diego, LA, just let me know. Like I say, it's June that I'm going to be out there, so. Yeah, I would love to catch up with some folks and talk audio drama.
Are you going to LA then? Are you looking for a movie deal? Are you abandoning audio drama?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Out there to write a prequel to Jaws. not set in LA, obviously, but I could do the writing there. So.
Yeah, the outskirts.
Yep.
So I hope you have fun. It'll be your
last... Yeah, we will speak before then, incidentally. It is June.
June, yeah.
Unless somebody's listening to this in like 4 years' time, in which case I've had my holiday, and the next holiday I've got planned then will probably be like a caravan in Skegness or somewhere like that. But yeah, live for the moment, I suppose.
Yeah. Any other plans this weekend?
No, not going to football today. Got a few bets on, hoping they come in.
Very nice.
What about you? Oh, here's the thing. We got a board game, a really advanced board game. This is a bit random. Me and my wife were talking about this in the house. She watches the telly and I hate it, or I play the Xbox and she hates it.
Yeah.
So I said, let's get a game that we could play together. So we're looking at these, I don't know if adult board games is the right word, because that sounds a bit, like, erotic.
Is it Call of Duty, the board game?
It's called Dead of Winter, and it's a zombie survival game.
It sums you up perfectly, like, proper, right, straight away, it's downcast, it's post-apocalyptic, yeah. It's miserable.
Well, I wanted, like, a dungeon crawler game, because I was reminiscing, I remember games like HeroQuest and that, yeah. But HeroQuest being discontinued, and I was looking, you could only get second-hand copies. So, some of these games, though, they're really expensive.
Yeah.
So we ordered this one off, like, the Chaos Cards website or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it came, and we set it up last night, deliberately didn't have a drink, because this rule book is like a Bible.
Hmm.
And you set your survivors up in the colony, you've got your cards and things like that. And we ended up going online and watching a YouTube tutorial of how to play this game. We've still not rolled a dice yet. Like, we've not started it yet, but I think we're kind of getting there. So, yeah, tonight is very much getting back to that and trying to get the game started, basically. But it'll be interesting. I'll keep you posted.
Alea non eacta est. That means the die has not been cast in Latin.
It literally hasn't.
Yeah, very good. That sounds really fun. I've got a gig tonight.
Really?
In an old folks home. Well, it's not really an old folks home. It's like an ex-serviceman's club, where everyone there will be in their mid to upper ages, if you like. But it'll be fun. It'll be good. We've got to carry equipment up 3 flights of stairs to get into this club. So
need to hire a roadie.
Yeah, I might do that. If anyone's available and would be able to come back in time to Saturday night, that'd be great.
Maybe I could rush home and get this podcast out.
Yeah.
Before then, and you might be able to get someone in.
Yeah,
unlikely.
I'll advertise. That's the media way, isn't it? Get work experience, people. Would you like to be a musician? Would you like work experience being a musician? Come and carry my crap.
Yeah, good for exposure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've gone on long enough.
Yeah.
I apologise. It was good to speak to you again, really.
Yeah.
We missed you. But we will catch up with you again next week, I guess. There's a few things in the pipeline, a few interviews, and we've got a long list of things we want to chat about in the old car as well. So stay tuned to the feed on audiodramaproduction.com. Join the Facebook group, where you'll find loads of very clever people as well that won't be joyless like the type of people you find in forums.
Let's hope.
And keep working on stuff, keep making stuff, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah, anything you want to talk about today, tomorrow, in the future, let us know one way or another. And just remember, the odds of them coming from Mars were 1,000,000 to 1, but still they came. Bye-bye.